This is Fight Back on WCRS 98.3 102.1 with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton.
Bob Fetrakis here, and as usual, the Republican-dominated State House is up to mischief in disenfranchising voters again. Let's get a look at what they're up to. They're about to vote on two election bills, Connie. House Bill 184 and Senate Bill 148.
Okay.
The intent of these bills is obvious. They want to make it harder for people to vote. Here are some of the changes. You can tell me what you think of
these.
Okay. Severely cut early and absentee voting.
Huh.
Restrict, you know, the days people can go early to the poll.
It says that that's one of their objectives, that they want to do that on
purpose? Yeah, no, it's right in there. They want to cut it to 5-6 days.
Does it say why? There's like a policy consideration or something?
Well, usually what they always talk about, of course, is voter fraud, or at least they claim it's voter fraud, although there's no real evidence that.
Yeah, I don't know that that's really going to prevent it.
Now, in fact, it seems like you'd have far more time to check people out, and count their vote and see if they're registered.
Yeah, take your time.
If you allow them to vote early.
Yeah.
Also, prohibits poll workers from helping voters.
What's a poll worker for, Bob?
Well,
are they supposed to keep poll workers? Poll workers are supposed to keep people from being able to vote. I thought they were supposed to assist people in being able to vote, right?
Well,
isn't
here's
that the
problem.
Point of a poll worker?
Poll workers have given out bad advice, and thus people's votes haven't been counted because of this so-called bad advice.
Hmm.
So instead of training them better or saying that if it's a legitimate voter and they've made a minor error, they didn't sign the inside and the outside, but if you can verify it, who it is, then let's count the vote.
Yeah.
So here the Republican solution is essentially to say a poll worker cannot help a voter vote.
Yeah.
That way, they won't be reliant upon their information, which is mostly all right, and a few times it's wrong, because the Republicans, particularly in Cincinnati, have been using poll workers, making minor mistakes in terms of where to sign provisional ballots or paper ballots, and as a result of that, they've not counted the ballots.
Yeah.
So their solution to everything is, poll workers should not help voters.
Wow. Well, yeah. So what I think about that? Well, I think that maybe they should train the poll workers better. It sounds like instead of, just saying that they can't help people, which, I mean, to me, it seems like the job of a poll worker is to make sure that voters are able to vote, especially registered voters, you know, who are totally legit, which most people who go to the polls are. You know, it's pretty rare that somebody is, you know, trying to defraud and
vote
twice or something.
They've only found one case in the last decade.
Okay, yeah. Well,
and that was a mother turning in her daughter's absentee ballot, and that's the only case.
Turning it in?
Yeah, she went there.
So I guess you can't have another person turn your absentee ballot in for you?
Well, not on the day of the election.
Oh, okay.
Just ahead of time.
Okay, so I can send a courier with my ballot for me as long as it's not the day of the election.
Correct.
But if I send a courier on the day of the election, then he's going to get like felony charges or something?
Well, yeah, they ask her who they were. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, watch out, messengers. Messengers of the world.
Also, they're requiring certain voters to put their full 9-digit Social Security number, which are public records, on their voting place, which would identify their vote.
Okay.
Usually we only lose, secret ballot.
Secret on their individual ballot vote or just on their voting location?
No, on their, on their when they're voting on paper.
Yeah.
It's really a way to discourage, and
that
provisional
seems problematic,
voters.
Yeah. So when they turn in the on-paper vote, they I mean, you'd think that there would be a way to actually, like, separate the vote, have it on a separate piece of paper than the identifying information. But you're saying they have it all on the same piece of paper?
Yes.
So it can identify the person's vote by their social security number, and somebody can know who they voted for, and then they could be subject to intimidation or, you know, some of the other reasons that we don't identify voters, right?
Correct. Okay. They'll know, they'll be, and that often is public records. You can get the ballots and add a little identity theft.
Jeez.
The ACLU, of course, is leading the charge against this legislation, as is the League of Women's Voter.
Cool.
They've been calling it vote suppression.
Yeah.
The ACLU tends, it's not the National Lawyers Guild, tends to be more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Their argument is that voting is vital to preserving our democracy. You can't have a democracy without including everyone in the vote. And that everyone should have equal access to the ballot, regardless of race, age, economic status.
Yeah.
Ohioans may be kept from the polls by misguided attempts to, and they're always reforming it. They're always claiming that this is reform. And it's really not. The Republicans want to reform the voting process, and what they really want to do is restrict. They want to restrict when, where, and how we can vote. They don't want to make it easier. They don't want to make it more reliable.
Right.
And now they're going after these sweeping changes that are going to create all sorts of barriers to voting, decrease the amount of voter education that's allowed, keep the poll workers from helping you. And essentially, this is a giant step backwards. And in fact, they're having a forum on it. If the listeners hear this, this is Delaware County Library on May 24th, Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Okay, and who's hosting the event?
It's the ACLU.
Great.
And they'll have people there, including my occasional nemesis, Dan Takagi, professor of law, who's very good on this issue. Carrie Davis, who's the staff counsel, and Hussan Kwame Jeffries, associate professor of history and faculty member at the Kerwin Institute.
Wait, so just another follow-up question. You said the ACLU claims that the Republicans are discouraging voter education. What do they mean by voter education? Like who to vote?
Well,
for,
there's
like,
a variety of things.
How to vote or
translating.
Who to vote
for. Pamphlets into other languages.
Okay.
So, you know, to save money, they want to keep that voter education. They don't want to pay as much to, you know, go out and show people how to vote,
how to use the
new high-tech machines.
Yeah.
So they'll do this all under the guise of saving money.
Right.
They'll restrict the poll workers from telling you how the machine works or how to vote on paper.
That just doesn't make sense. You know, how can you have a voting, you know, a technology that is supposed to be accessible to voters when, you know, they're not allowing poll workers to make it accessible by just, you know, giving somebody a simple hint like, here's how you press enter so that it actually registers your vote, right? It just doesn't seem to make sense. It seems like that is exactly what a poll worker is for, to make sure that my vote is successfully cast when I mean to cast it, carrying out my will. It sounds pretty problematic. And, you know, democracy is only going to work if we allow a wide subset of the population to vote. And as it is, I think it's less than 50% of people who vote in most elections. And to cut that down further just seems like it's really counter to democracy. So, you know, when we're waging war all over the world, it seems, you know, just so that we can spread
usually
democracy.
Usually in the name of democracy after we can admit to
what,
oil.
What kind of disease are we spreading?
Destruction.
You know, what kind of political disease are we spreading if we're saying we're spreading democracy? And, you know, and here we come up with, you know, silly regulations that are intended to prevent people from voting. It seems very counter to democracy and very suspect, if you ask me. And, Yeah, it's good to save money, right? But, you know, how can it really save that much money to say, okay, you're not allowed to make that extra effort if you want to, a poll worker, to help somebody vote, right? Is that really going to save money? I mean, I just don't see that that's going to... It doesn't seem efficient, or it just doesn't seem like a good value for,
sure,
for money.
Sure, and what's underlying this is that they think that there's a certain amount of contempt, because what they feel is that the Democrats aren't as smart as the Republicans, aren't as well educated. The voters who can't figure the system out are far more likely to be lower class voters who vote Democratic.
Yeah. They don't
than
deserve
middle
to vote.
Class vote. Exactly.
They don't deserve to vote because they're not smart enough. They're too stupid. If they can't figure it out, it's their own fault, right?
It's like a new literacy test.
Yeah, and that's been deemed unconstitutional. Right? The literacy tests?
Yep.
Yeah.
But they're willing to go back. All of this has to do with the 2012
it's
election.
It's more like a literacy test by default, right? It's not like an actual test, but it's like, you know, still like running the voter gauntlet, you know? It's an unofficial gauntlet test.
And on the other hand, other things that appear to be a step backward as well. You've probably already heard it, Connie, but a mom lost custody of her children because of her breast cancer. Hmm. In North Carolina, a judge ruled that because of the woman being sick and having breast cancer, she should move to Chicago with her kids because her husband didn't have breast cancer and thus would be better able to provide for the children.
Well, so, no, actually, I didn't hear about this case yet. So the husband lived where? In Chicago?
Or? Yes.
So he lived in Chicago. He'd be able to care for the kids, so she should move to Chicago if she wanted to see her kids, I guess.
Indeed.
Where was she receiving care? North Carolina?
North Carolina, where she had a very fine medical staff treating her. She felt very well for her cancer.
Yeah.
On April 25th, a judge in North Carolina used the reason of the breast cancer to transfer custody of her 5-year-old son and her 11-year-old daughter to her ex-husband.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this on the radio, but that seems misogynist.
Misogynist. I think it's
misogynist.
Okay,
is that one of the dirty words that we're not allowed to say? No, I think that's really misogynist. Woman hating, you know? Because honestly, you know, even if a woman is sick and if she has family support, you know, she should be able to use that family and community support to get what she needs. And she should have, you know, people should have a support system, especially if they're sick and parents. And we need to make sure that parents do have support. You know, a lot of times I think that when people become parents, they can become isolated because they're only taking care of their kids. It's so much work, and they may lose contact with friends that they, you know, maybe single friends who don't have kids or whatever. But it's really important to have that support system, and you know, you don't have to do it all by yourself. You don't have to do everything and be super mom or whatever. I think cancer is like a lot to take care of, but I think the woman's emotional health probably depends a lot on her children. You know, she has a close relationship with the children that could have a huge impact on her, you know, being able to fight the battle of cancer.
And the stress is obviously may affect her immune system. She described the husband as abusive. Now she has to move 700 miles, even though her cancer treatment was going well and she only had to take it once a month. Now the judge wants to overturn the custody that she had won, citing the issue of cancer.
Jeez.
And of course, there's
so he's gonna turn over custody to somebody who is possibly abusive. I mean, that would cause a lot of stress in a mother, you know, to know that your kids are being turned over to an abusive dad, you know, that she had to fight for custody for her kids against, you know.
And shockingly, one of the reasons she lost, no attorney. She's now looking for a pro bono attorney. And if we were in North Carolina, licensed there, we'd probably help her out. But not our state and not licensed there. So we hope somebody in North Carolina steps up, and at least some women groups and people that believe in universal human rights, regardless of your gender, moves forward to help this woman who clearly is being abused by the judge.
Yeah, abused by the system for sure. This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
All right, if you want to help repeal SB 5, there's a lot of different locations for signing. And again, this is the Ohio Student Organization Network, a network working throughout the state. But here is where they're going to be. Hopefully you'll get this in time. Batavia, Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the courthouse in Batavia. In Eaton, Ohio, Saturday 12 to 2 at Taffy's. You've been to Taffy's, haven't you?
Never heard of it.
No, neither have I. But anyway, were we in Eaton, we might stop by Taffy's because that's where they sign petitions.
Okay, yeah, I'd be there, I guess.
Columbus, Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Whetstone Branch Library.
Okay, now, great.
I know you know that one.
Yep, Park of Roses. So Saturday at what time?
11 to 2 p.m., Whetstone Branch Library.
Yeah, great time to take a walk in the park, Whetstone Park.
And sign that petition to repeal SB 5.
Yeah, it's right on the bike path. You can ride your bike with your pen and go sign the petition.
Now, when you were talking about the nude bike ride, was that through Whetstone?
No.
I'm just trying to get some people up there.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to give you bad information.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys again about the World Naked Bike Ride after Bob is done here.
And I thought it was just the hemisphere. I just thought it was like Western Hemisphere. I didn't know it was the whole world naked bike ride. Let's also look at Columbus, our neighborhood, Connie. Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Martin Luther King Branch Library, 1600 East Long Street.
Uh-huh,
you can go there and sign a petition to repeal Senate Bill 5.
Yeah.
The evil Senate Bill 5.
Evil one.
That is crushing organized and collective bargaining in Ohio.
Well, actually, I think it may be bringing people together a little bit, you know?
good point.
I think it's bringing people together.
Working class solidarity.
Yeah.
And it'll even bring us together more in a huge celebration if we repeal it.
I think we got a good shot.
Okay, Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, the Clintonville Farmers Market on North High between Orchard Lane and West Dunedin.
Yeah, and they have amazing vegetables there. Definitely go with your pen to sign the petition.
And, of course, those of you who love the Free Press Salon, 1021 East Broad Street, where Connie works and where I live and work, the second Saturday Salon, sponsored by the Columbus Free Press, freepress.org. We'll have petitions there as well. Also in Columbus, in Hilliard, at the Hilliard Branch Library, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 4772 Cemetery Road in Hilliard. So we're there, and then what else we can do? Put a spike into SB 5 and bury it in the grave symbolically. Also Columbus, South High Branch Library, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 3540 South High Street. And it goes on. What about Southeast Branch Library, 3980 South Hamilton Road? Again, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Also on Saturday, Gahanna Branch Library. I love this. It's all these middle-class suburbs, and people are going to be out there at those libraries. Also, Carl Road Library, 5590 Carl Road, 11 to 2 on Saturday. Pomeroy, one of Connie's favorite cities. She's biked naked. Well, not semi-clad. We need to be accurate here.
Short shorts.
Short shorts. At the Gazebo River parking lot on Main Street in Pomeroy. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're serious in Pomeroy.
Yeah, all
They're
day.
They're going to be there
Picnic.
All day. Akron, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Cuyahoga Falls FOP Lodge. I love this, man.
Okay.
The Fraternal Order of Police are doing the petitioning right at their lodge. And that's all the ones we have.
Great. Well, to tell you all about the World Naked Bike Ride, that's coming up on June 11th at 11:59 p.m. And basically, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a bunch of people riding their bikes. It starts out at the Third Hand Bike Co-op at 174 East Fifth Avenue, and starts and ends there. We'll be taking a tour around the neighborhood. Last year, everybody came out of the bars and cheered us on, and there are no real problems there. And basically, it is called the World Naked Bike Ride, but you can wear as much or as little clothing as you're comfortable with. There's no pressure to actually be nude. I guess, you know, I think the point is just to celebrate biking and your individual freedoms and, you know, the feel of the air on your body. And it's also, you know, we're the organizers are trying to set it up as a safe space. So it's not, you know, meant to be like pornographic or sexual, but merely just kind of celebrating your body and your freedom. And so we do want it to be a safe space for women and for people of all genders. So the point is not to go there and just see a bunch of boobs. There will also be a bunch of hairy butts as well.
Well, I know there's going to be a shaving just prior to the event.
There might be body painting. It's probably going to be body painting.
I think, as yeah. Janis Joplin sang, freedom's just another word for riding your bike nude. Spring is in the air, and again,
good one.
If you care about Mother Nature, you might want to hang out with the Ohio Sierra Club on Tuesday, May 17th, from 10 to 4. Why? Because we're declaring Ohio a frack-free zone, Connie.
Yeah.
Are you down with that?
Yep. No fracking way, Bob. Am I going to allow fracking in my neighborhood?
You know, people just need... go forward and frack off. No more fracking.
Yeah. Frack that shale. No, don't frack it.
Now, what's happening here, as funding is cut, gas drilling is moving forward in our parks in Lake Erie. They're going after our water resources. And actually, NBC Channel 4 in Columbus did a wonderful job of showing where you went to law school in Pennsylvania,
uh-huh.
How bad fracking has been
to
the state of Pennsylvania.
I haven't been there in a couple years.
The questions of what the water's like, I remember the guy on the show saying it came out of the tap looking like iced tea.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, and just to be clear for our listeners, Bob, fracking, maybe we can explain what that is. As far as hydrofracking, it's a process where I think they force water down into mineral deposits like shale, and the idea is to force out natural gas so they can collect natural gas. Is that about right?
Yeah, they're essentially bringing up this natural gas, going into the shale, going into the soil, and they're putting all sorts of...
Forcing water down there.
Sure.
And it's like drinking water, right? So, I mean, it's water that could be used for drinking water, and it contaminates the water.
Yeah, it gets into the water table, gets in the aquifers, gets into the stream.
So a lot of minerals, I guess.
Well, they're talking about 300
toxic materials
that can be released in the process.
So do they actually add the chemicals in, or
are
some of them just
added
from the earth?
Some of them are added.
To make it more abrasive or effective, right?
Right,
to bring out the
extracting
gas.
Extracting the gas.
And so are they like breaking the minerals underground and it releases gas, basically? So they're breaking it up underground?
Yeah, essentially, they're fracking it, shattering
okay.
it.
Okay.
Fracturing. And they're using all sorts of
hydrofracking.
Toxic chemicals to do that.
Yeah, and in some of the areas where they do that, they have to bring in heavy machinery in order to do that. So they're rolling over, you know, the flora and fauna in a given area where there may be, you know, a nature preserve, or there may be land that, you know...
Or there may be an organic farm. One of the guys we saw on TV,
that sounds...
he had a dairy cow. He was living on this 19th century farmhouse.
Uh-huh.
He didn't own the mineral rights, so he didn't even give him permission. And then out of...
Somebody else owned the mineral rights?
Yeah, like, and I forget the exact total.
Utility company or something?
Yeah, came in. He had like 16 calves born, 10 of them stillborn after the fracking because of the water that they were drinking.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, such a shame, man. So, yeah, it's a horrible environmental hazard, and it's really short-term thinking, because it's like we're trying to extract a little bit of energy or natural gas or whatever from the earth in this area, but it's damaging the earth's ability to sustain life for who knows how long. I mean, is there any estimated time of, you know, like what the damage is going to be? Is it going to be damage for 10 years? And is it going to be damage for 1,000 years? Like what's the damage projection? Do we know?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. It's a new technology. Okay. We know that it's killing stuff already. We know many of these chemicals have half-lives, you know, 5, 10,
yeah.
Beyond that,
okay.
In terms of years.
So a gabillion, basically? We're ruining it for a gabillion years?
Or a zillion? Probably not as long as radioactivity, but,
yeah.
You know, for our children and
yeah.
Our children's children.
Yeah, well, that's long enough.
Generationally, and too.
Right.
You know, and what happens once you destroy these water tables,
yeah.
These aquifers? The question is, how are they ever going to be purified again?
Yeah, I mean, I like water. That's one of the main things I drink. So, you know, I'm going to be pretty thirsty in the next coming decades, I think.
Right, and the other thing we should note, Dennis Kucinich, one of my favorite congressmen up in Cleveland, having the fundraiser on May 18th, but as we speak, they're trying to get rid of Kucinich's district, and actually other states like Washington.
Yeah.
People in there have asked him to come out there if he can no longer run in Ohio. But I think it's because Kucinich did, among other things, issue the Articles of Impeachment against Cheney and Bush.
Yeah, that'll do it, huh?
Also against the wars in Iraq
yeah.
and Afghanistan. And his grave sin, he wants a Department of Peace. He argues if we have a Department of War, the Defense Department,
yeah.
why not put a few million dollars towards actually coming up with diplomatic solutions?
Right, yeah. Well, wait, so can you explain to me a little bit more about the redistricting? So they've basically gerrymandered or redistricting, so his district doesn't exist now?
Well,
or what's going on?
They're negotiating in Ohio every 10 years. After the census, they come in, and you only have, because of a federal law dating back to the 20s, you only have 435 congressmen. So it's a zero-sum game.
Okay.
Ohio is losing two congressmen.
Okay.
Hence, they're moving
and
off.
Another state is getting ours.
Is getting them because it's based on population.
Yeah.
Hence, here in Ohio.
We have the brain drain. All the people in their 20s and 30s are leaving because they don't want to.
And as a result
it's
of that,
uninhabitable. And
our congressional seats are disappearing.
Yeah. Okay,
and
well,
the
great.
Republicans are obsessed.
Jeez. We
obsessed
might want to try
getting rid of Kucinich.
Oh, geez, yeah. We might want to think about, like, keeping college graduates here to increase the population, right?
Well, I think you accomplish that through fracking. Well, maybe not. Maybe
if I want drinking water, maybe I should go somewhere else. I'll go to Vermont, right?
Vermont,
do they have
yes.
good drinking water
spring
there?
Water, and they got good ice cream, Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, and gay marriage, right?
Yeah, and yeah, you know,
I like
the
it.
Yeah, it's real interesting. You know, you're young. Well, compared to me, but what can we do to keep people here? Politically, is there anything we can do other than the World Naked Bike Ride?
I don't know, Bob. I mean, I'll have to think about that, I guess. I mean, just like, you know, I mean, as a young person, I want to live somewhere where I have, you know, opportunities and freedom and where I don't feel like people are cracking down on me too hard all the time, you know? Like, yeah, I would like to be able to ride my bike topless and feel the wind on my chest and back and not get arrested, you know? I think it's, you know, it's legal to be topless in Columbus, but it's not really, like, hospitable, you know? It's, you can still get harassed if you're not with your friends, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess just kind of loosening up a little bit and, you know, I don't think that making it a friendly, like, commercial consumer thing is really the answer. I think, you know, making Ohio, like, a nice place to live where, you know, you can just kind of, you know, get by pretty well. One good thing about Columbus and Ohio is that it's a low cost of living. I think that's a good thing. Okay. I think that's a good thing. Low cost of living and, you know, there are a lot of foreclosures here. There's a lot of, you know, stuff like that, I think, that causes people to want to leave. So I'd say working on some poverty issues.
All right. That's it. We're over time.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.